Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
This crowd rises to its feet. Vaccaro slammed it home. Garland left wing, three ball. Perfect! Garland went to the lane, locked the Mobley, pow! And Allen blocked the shot at the rim. Pow! With the left hand and a foul!
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Cavs Media family. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. The Chase Down is presented by Fubo TV. Watch over 100 channels of live sports and TV for half the cost of cable. There's no contract and no commitment. Try for free at FuboTV.com. The Cleveland Cavaliers sweep the Brooklyn Nets thanks to a game-winning three-point shot from Isaac Okoro. Never in doubt. And joining me today to discuss it is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how you doing, buddy?
Ice! Oh, man!
Let's go!
It felt so good. You know, I feel like it's one of those real feel-good game winners. I mean, you got to remember where the season started, where Isaac just looked lost. He had rebuilt his shot in the offseason. And, you know, Chris Fedor writes that really nice piece. He has this awesome preseason, and then the season starts, and it's a disaster. And you're at the point now where the stakes are so high, the team's development curve has moved so fast that you're genuinely wondering, like, do they have time? Do they have time to let this guy find himself again, or is this just not going to work? You know? And to go from that where you have to earn, where we're like earnestly discussing, like, can he be in the rotation right now? Can he play with this team right now? To stabilizing, rediscovering his jumper, fighting his way back up, back into the starting lineup, and then hitting this three to win a game. I mean, like, how can you not root for the guy? How can you not like the guy? If you listen to his post game audio, his voice was shaking. You could tell the adrenaline was so high, the emotions were so high, and man, he's just a really easy guy to root for.
It's also especially poetic because this is the site of where kind of the decision was made. Hey, he's not really playable in this postseason situation, right? It was Brooklyn where he had a tough half. Brooklyn wasn't really respecting him on the offensive end of the court. And for him to go 3 of 4 from three tonight, hit that game-winning shot, to have the confidence and composure to hit that shot as well and to relocate, I thought was really impressive. It was impressive composure all around. Like, Donovan recognized that the free throw was going to be short. I just saw a slow motion replay just before we went live here. His foot actually did not touch into the key until that ball hit the rim. So that was actually a legal play, it looked like. Not a Chicago situation where he was a half step early. So Twitter cops like Wob can breathe easy.
Get out of the paint!
But Donovan, you know, getting up there, generating an offensive rebound opportunity. Jared Allen knocking that ball out to Caris LeVert at half court. Caris LeVert recognizing, hey, there's 3.5 seconds left here. I've got time. Dribbling kind of to the far side corner and throwing a gorgeous pass to Isaac Okoro, who relocated. Like, that cross-court feed to recognize, hey, I actually have an open look here, but, you know, it's a pull-up drifting three that I'd be taking. For Caris to have the composure in that spot to throw that pass, I think is incredibly impressive. It's I was getting very ready, Carter, to come on this podcast and to kind of scold the team. Because this felt this felt like a game where they recognized, hey, we just need 5 good minutes and we can beat this team. And that's a dangerous game. You can have Spencer Dinwiddie hit a floating
and
driving.
Only need 1 good minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Down 8 with a minute 40 left and to come back. It's one of those that where it's like, you know what? I hope you take the right lessons away from this and recognize, hey, you can't. You have to respect every opponent. Like the Orlando Magic just beat the New York Knicks right now, which now puts the Cavs 5 games up on the Knicks. You're going to play Orlando twice. You don't want to be that team that gets caught kind of assuming that you're going to be able to just go out and win that game and that other teams are going to roll over. So I thought it was a very, very impressive win to come back at the end. It completely changed my mood from scolding to just over the moon, and I couldn't be
especially
happier.
Especially because it was Isaac. I honestly think if it was a Donnie pull-up three, I think I'm coming onto this pod like 20% grumpier, you know? but like he just, you know, it warms your cold heart that a guy like that who has worked so hard, you know, by all reports, lives in the gym working on that jumper, has, you know, spent all summer with Coach Olsen trying to rebuild it and try to, you know, get to that desired shot arc. You know, you do that kind of stuff for these moments. And this isn't the only timely three he's hit. That's one thing that's been really exciting about Isaac so far this season is he's taken quite a few threes in the fourth quarter and in high leverage situations and made them. You know, he's not letting the moment affect his process. And yep. And that's really, really exciting. And again, you got to be really, really proud of him. I thought that shot was in too. The second it left, he said, Isaac said post game, the second it left my hands, I knew it was good. Cosign, Isaac, the second it left his hands, I was like, I think that's it. I think that's going in. Yeah. So like got to be thrilled for Isaac. I think that definitely takes the sting off. You know, love to see LeVert making that play. Credit to JB for not calling a timeout. Actually, I don't know if they had one left. I think they did.
Of post game pods.
Yeah, it's impossible. I'll have to check later. if they did have a timeout, I think I was like kind of hit. I was Chris Webbering on my couch. if nothing else, so you know, the fact that that Karis was able to play under control and even Jarrett Jarrett set that flare screen to get Isaac open in the first place. Yeah. To take out Nick Claxton on the baseline. So you know, just it was a weird game. Not the best work from a few key Cavaliers. And they left with a win because they executed down the stretch on the road, which is something we have not seen them do a lot this year.
Technically, Carter, these are two clutch wins on the road because when Sharp hit that three in that fake comeback in the first game, it technically moved the game into NBA.com's clutch metrics, which again can show you that sometimes those things don't tell the full story. And I'm really happy that they won both of these games because, you know, as your co-host and as a dear friend of you, I've never seen you more worried about facing a team than you were against this Brooklyn Nets. I've never seen you respect a team more. I've never seen you more worried. I
said this to you in a DM, but between you and this stupid Nets thing and David Zavac telling me that I told him that Isaac shouldn't shoot more threes, I am just doused in strawmen right now.
Well, the Scarecrow are coming for you, Carter, but it's okay. It feels great to get this win. As I mentioned, Cavs are now 5 games up on the Knicks. If you're looking at magic numbers, one more game to make the playoffs officially and avoid the play-in. By all likelihood, Cavs are going to be playing playoff basketball in the very near future. Could not be more excited for that. For those not familiar with magic number, that's how many games it takes you to win. Regardless of what any other team does. So one more win the rest of the way, you guarantee a playoff berth. 3 wins and you guarantee home court in the playoffs. So with 7 games left, we have to go less than 500 to guarantee at least the 4 seed. So that is really exciting. And, you know, we tweeted this out from the pod account, I believe last week, but since the beginning of February of last year, Isaac Okoro has now taken 228 threes. He's shooting 38.1% on those shots. Like, that's a decent enough sample size. It does take more than that to normalize. We've seen that with hot and cold shooters like Jay Crowder. I remember he had that one hot shooting year in Boston, and outside of that, you know, it wasn't as consistent. The question now kind of shifts from can Isaac shoot to can he get the volume up, right? Are teammates going to trust him in those situations and make the right pass when he's open the corner? And this was an example of teammates trusting him, trusting that he's put in that work, and him delivering in a big moment. And honestly, I think this is going to pay big dividends, because you remember Isaac Okoro hitting that shot in this spot on the road against Brooklyn, right? Like, I just feel like it's going to be more likely that Darius Garland or Donovan Mitchell is going to make the right pass when maybe Isaac's just a little bit less open. But we've seen now he's not passing up those opportunities like he used to. I think one of the only threes he passed up, he ended up blowing by Dinwiddie and finishing under Claxton, which I thought was a great take. Like, we're seeing consistent growth, and I think it's easy to forget sometimes because he came to the Cavs a year earlier. He's the same age as Evan Mobley. Like, he's shown a lot of growth,
right,
for a very young player.
Yeah. You know, and I'll even take it another step further. You know, you talk about him earning that pass from Donovan or Darius when the game's on the line. I also am starting to think that he might be earning a little benefit of the doubt from JB Bickerstaff. You know, if you recall those two playing games last year, it was like two or three misses, and JB was like, I got to pull the ripcord.
Yep.
I'm not sure. One, I just based on the way the current roster is shaped and where you're getting production. But beyond that, just, you know, the fact that how important Isaac is to what they do, I don't think you should do that this year.
Yep.
I think you might have to let him go through at least a game or two, especially now that you're not in that one game morass where it's like, okay, one game is so important. But now that you have a 7-game stretch to go through, like, I think you have to be okay with Isaac having an 0-4 game from three, because he's shown at least enough this season to me that, one, the ends justify the means on the defensive end of the ball and in transition and as a finisher, etc. And that, you know, a bad game does not necessarily mean that he's going to have one the next night. You know, yeah. He went 0-4 against Brooklyn in the first game of this split. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, tonight he comes out and hits the game winner. So I think he's earned himself a little bit of rope. Again, just super proud of the guy.
Yeah, and the other element of that, too, is he's more involved in the offense than he was last season, right? Like, you are now seeing, like, both him and Allen coming up to set screens at the top of the key to free up Darius Garland. Like, he's involved in the offense beyond just standing in the corner. And I think some of that is his own activity. Some of that is the evolution of the offensive schemes that the Cavs run from the coaching staff as well. I just think he has much more of an impact on the game. And even last season, I thought he was a very good positional defender. And now he's starting to become that event defender, or he has become that event defender, really. Like, even when you look at defensive metrics, he's up there as one of the better on-ball defenders in the league right now, and especially for his age group. So he's becoming a very helpful player outside of just the outside shot. So I'm thrilled for this. I'm encouraged that he's going to be someone that can stay on the floor in the postseason. There might be nights where, hey, we need to go a little more Karras in this situation, and it's going to be a 22, 24 minute per game, you know, night for Isaac. But I think overall, I feel good about his chances of being a functional part of the rotation. And we know that there's, in all likelihood, there's going to be times where the Cavs' lack of options for perimeter shooting is going to make things a lot more difficult for them. But they're also going to need to see, hey, how can we play through this? Who can step up? Are we able to generate offense in different ways? And if outside solutions are necessary as well, they're going to have some options to pursue that in the postseason as well. So I couldn't be more thrilled. And the other guy that really... I feel so happy that we got this win for many reasons, but I also feel incredibly happy that we got this win and didn't waste just a phenomenal night from Evan Mobley.
My God, man. I mean, I just... he's making me look stupid because I'm just like, yeah, he's just going to be this guy who's going to be a star while putting up like 20 and 10. And that's, you know, and completely dominating. And then it's like, no, he's just going to go for a cool 26, 16, 4, and 3 with zero turnovers and one foul.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Modest. Like, he's almost already, like, since the calendar changed to 2023, he's almost already a 20-point-per-game player. Like, this is getting a little ridiculous, Carter.
Yeah, man. Like, they had, and, you know, early in the season, I kind of talked about how Brooklyn posed some issues for these guys insofar as, like, you know, they had length that was, like, not super strong but bouncy, and, like, it was a team where I felt like early in the season the Cavs didn't impose their will physically, and it was really challenging to watch because, like, okay, we don't have the strongest bigs in the world, even though we're tall, like, Brooklyn was matching that length and really, I think, invalidating our bigs. How about Mobley just going straight into Claxton's chest a couple times in the post and just muscling through him, playing big, playing physical, using his touch.
The footwork, too, is exceptional.
Yeah, he was so good in this game on both ends of the ball on a night where I thought most of the team had, you know, three or four possessions where I'm like, hey, are you here? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think Mobley really had any of those. I thought he was so awesome tonight.
Yeah, he was the only one for most of the game that I felt confident was actually having a good night. Like, Donnie started on fire and then just kind of faded away. And I think some of the length and the things that you pointed out with Brooklyn, it was costly. When the Cavs weren't playing with focus, when they made lazy passes in both of these games, they were able to turn that into fast break opportunities. They were, when you're not fully engaged on the defensive boards, you're going to give up second chance opportunities to a team that's this active, that has this much length. And I thought, honestly, Darius didn't have a good game in either of these games. Like, he had stretches that were very good. He had a great quarter in this game. The playmaking overall, I thought, was pretty solid, but pretty unremarkable overall by kind of the standards he sets. Like, I thought there was a lot of lazy turnovers, especially in that first game early on. And then in this one, like, it seemed like there was a lack of focus and a lack of purpose with how he was playing. But
brother, I thought our boy was pretty bad, and he was plus 15, so I don't understand basketball, I guess.
Well, that's the thing, like, he always seems to make an impact.
That's the thing, like, a very bad Darius game can still be plus 15. I don't know, maybe that's just lineup luck. But
well, some of it's lineup luck, and also, like, to start the game, and particularly in that second quarter, the lineups with he and Mobley when Mitchell and Allen rest are bananas this year. Like, that is such a great combination for the Cavs. And you look at it, when Allen and Mitchell sit and it's Garland and Mobley out there, they have a plus 13.4 net rating per cleaning the glass. So no garbage time there. And the flip side of that is Mitchell and Allen together without Garland Mobley is plus 9.8. Like, this is the advantage of always having one elite offensive engine and a big man that you're able to play off of, that is functional in the screen and roll, that is a good passer themselves. Like, that works so damn well. And I was going to get a little annoyed about the Caris and Rubio minutes in the first quarter without Garland and Mitchell on there. I put a note here in the rundown. But after that didn't work out, they didn't go any minutes without one of the two guards on the court for the rest of the way. And I thought that was a smart adjustment by JB. I get that both Rubio and Caris have been playing really well individually and playing well together. So I think that's part of that lineup experimenting, right? Like, hey, can we give the guards a rest if we need to? But the answer was very clearly no on this night. And he made the right correction with the rotation for the rest of the game. So a tip of the cap to him in that situation.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things that I'll be so surprised if we get to the postseason.
I don't see
and,
it happening.
And there's any stretch where both guards are sitting, barring foul trouble.
Yep.
That just feels like there are going to be games where I bet JV plays darn near seven guys, you know, like where it's like all five starters and Karis play like 38 minutes apiece and
Rubio gets like 15 maybe.
Yeah. And that's it, you know, and then maybe like 5 minutes for Jetty or Lamar or Dean or someone like that in a situational spot. Like that, I think that will be, you know, if we have a game seven, that's what I think will happen.
Yep.
I'm not super worried about the staggering, and JB's been so good about that staggering all year that like I'm not super concerned. And yeah, I mean, and I think we also have to give some flowers to Donnie. I thought Donnie had a really, really valuable game on ball and as an attacker. And it feels like he's kind of back to after, you know, he kind of goes through these phases where whether he's banged up or whatever, but he's kind of back to just pulling some insane vertical finishes at the rim. Where it's just like, oh, you're just way more athletic than everyone else on the floor, and you're strong. And, and you know, between him and Mobley, and I know we're kind of bouncing all over the place, and I'm really
dude,
not
after
ready
a game
to stop.
Like that, that's how it goes. My mind's going a mile a minute.
Yeah, I'm not even ready to stop lauding Mobley, because, my God, man, like, what is this? Like, he only had six free throws tonight, too, so it's not like it was, like, or six free throw attempts. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's not like he's, you know, getting cheapies. Like this is earned.
This is honest basketball.
Yeah, honest basketball. and thank God we play a brand of honest basketball. That would stink if we had to pretend like we liked grifting.
Well, I'm still amazed that Trae Young complained
about
officials on a night where he had 29 points with six made field goals. That's impressive.
Listen, they got to do something about it.
I do actually think on the subject of officiating, like there was a couple times I felt in the second quarter, and I think one occurred in the first quarter as well, where a call, you know, 50-50 call that didn't go their way. Jared Allen contact at the rim going up that led to transition opportunities. There was a time that Darius thought he got fouled and was kind of, you know, campaigning for the call from the officials rather than getting back. And it was basically like an 11-point swing. And I disagreed with some of the calls in the moment, but I thought the Cavs needed to show better composure in those spots, because that's going to be reality. Like when you're in the playoffs, you're going to have things that don't go your way, particularly when you're on the road. Like that's going to happen at MSG at some point, where we're all tweeting, we're all mad about it, and it's on them to kind of maintain their composure, to get back and recognize the value of every single play. And I thought overall this was a night where they didn't do that, where they weren't really valuing every single possession. They just kind of felt that or knew that they were the better team and that they'd be able to take over when they needed to. And honestly, like that attitude almost came back to bite them, because there were too many times where they left Joe Harris wide open, Do not leave him. Do not leave him when he is the closest pass on ball. DG got caught on twice. Jetty got caught a couple times as well. Do not leave that man over.
Darius, I wanted to have a firm talking to after this game. Like, hey, if the ball is being swung to Yuta on the wing and you are alone and have to choose between closing out on Watanabe card or either middling it or just staying on Joe Harris, do the latter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there were a couple of those where it's like, man, what are you doing? There was a play where he dug down to help on Mikal Bridges for no reason. Like, you know, like, and Harris hit another dagger. Like, man, they got away with one. And you know, I'm sure that whoever is in charge of film for this game is going to tell Darius as much, where he's like, hey, buddy, don't do this. And like, I think that, you know, we're a podcast that often talks about how freaking smart Darius is on the defensive end and how, given his, you know, given his physical limitations as a defender, he's not a big guy. He's not a strong guy. He's not a hyper athletic guy. He grades out as a positive defender because he doesn't make mistakes and competes so hard. Yeah. So like, it's, you know, we do have to say, like, when, like, it's really disastrous when he makes those kind of mistakes. And man, they got away with it for sure.
Yeah. And they have an ability to flip the switch. And I, like, the reason why I bring it up is because this isn't the team that we had from 2015 through 2018, right? Like, this isn't a veteran team that, you know, you can kind of have a level of confidence that they know what to do. You're not led by LeBron James, who already had a couple championship rings in his back pocket, right? Like, building good habits is so important for a team with a starting lineup with an average age of 23, right? Like, you want to build these habits. You can't take any of this lightly because the margins are going to be thin. We're outside of the first round. We're probably not going to have the best player in a series, but we need to make up for that by having guys 2, 3, 4. Right. And we're going to need to make up for that by not making mistakes. And if you end up against a team like Boston that really relies on, like, you know, 3-point variance and stuff, you need to win the turnover battle. You need to win the second chance battle. You need to win the 50-50 battle and increase your own margin for error in those spots. Right. So that's why it's so important for them to kind of clean up some of this stuff. And look, we've seen them locked in. Like, I thought that game in Miami was a really, really quality win. A Miami team that's starting to get hot, by the way. They're the vibes have turned around.
I'd like them to cool off a little bit there, Justin.
Dude, they might be Nickelback. Are you familiar with what's going on there?
No.
Jimmy Butler is making them listen to Nickelback in the locker room, and it's turned around their season. Yeah. Yeah.
Jimmy Butler is going to be a true NBA weirdo, man.
I kind of like it. I do not want to play them. Strange. I would rather play the Knicks.
I'll tell you this much, Justin. I thought Bally was a little too celebratory with the Knicks loss bug on the broadcast. I'm like, guys, I don't think we want them to keep losing.
You know what? Maybe
I want no part of Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo and Eric Spoelstra in the playoffs. I don't care if the children of the poor are players 3 through 10. In the rotation. I do not want any part of those guys if I can avoid it. I would love for Philly to have to play them.
We are much closer now to the 2 seed than we are to the 5 seed. So at least we can keep that in mind. We're functionally 4 games back of both Boston and Philly. 3.5 back of Philly, but they have the tiebreaker. So I'll save 4 there. I was just looking at the line for tomorrow. They're 6-point underdogs against Golden State with Harden and Embiid questionable, so maybe they're resting. Then they have to play Phoenix. Then they're traveling to Denver for 3 games in 4 nights. So who knows? That's one of the beautiful things for the Cavs this end of the season is they do get rest. They get another 2 days off after these games. All the games are in the Eastern time zone. Got a lot of home games left. So it's much, much easier than what a lot of these other teams need to deal with. But I still think, you know, like, if they repeat some of the bad habits that they displayed after getting a very big lead against Brooklyn or in this game, they're going to drop a game to Orlando. They're going to drop a game here and there, right? And I just think you want to clean that up and you want to finish strong.
Absolutely. And like, that's kind of the way I feel. Like, even if Philly goes out and win and Boston go out and win their next 3 and, you know, lock up their respective seeds. I really hope that the team does not, shut anyone down. Obviously, like, health is a different thing. Like, if a guy's playing on, like, a bum ankle and a game off would help, like, give him the game off. Yep. But, like, healthy scratches in order to, like, give folks that little last bit of rest, I'm not super interested in that if I'm this coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And because this is a team that just does not have the playoff reps. So you don't want to be a cold engine going into the postseason. You know, I talked when we had Kelsey Russo on earlier in the week. I was like, listen, if they can rattle off every single win to end the season, like, that's the dream for me. I want them to come in feeling themselves in rhythm, knowing exactly what it takes for them to win games. And I'm not standings watching anymore because I really don't think it should impact the team's decision making much.
Yeah, I agree. It's all about building good habits and putting together a complete game. Like, that's what JB said after the first Brooklyn game. I didn't get as much of a time to dig into the post game tonight, but you want to get a complete game. You want to get that sustainable performance, the kind of performance that Zoom gives us whenever we're doing these podcasts. Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Zoom. 500,000 businesses connect using Zoom, a single platform for phone, chat, workspaces, events, apps, and video. Zoom enables real-time collaboration for teams around the globe. Zoom, how the world connects.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Carter, the other benefit of this time off is, and you alluded to it earlier, but Donovan Mitchell, I am no longer worried about that finger. Because prior to the 3 days off, it looked like he was a little hesitant to dribble with the left hand. You could tell he was a little ginger on the catches. This looked like vintage Donovan Mitchell, and oh my God, has he been a lot of fun. Like, that poster dunk was ridiculous. He had a finish in traffic through contact in the first quarter that was almost as impressive. He just looks like himself out there, and it's just a reminder that this team, when rested and healthy, man, they're good. They're so damn good, and it's getting me really excited for the playoffs, man. Like, this, you're not going to have 3 games in 4 nights in the playoffs. You're going to be rested. The game slows down to the pace the Cavs already play at. Evan Mobley is playing the best basketball of his career. All of them are vibing. Jared Allen looks healthy. Like, it's a great place to be at.
Man, I just said to you right before we went live. If they win on Sunday, or is it Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday. They win on Sunday, they're going to be 20 games over 500. Like, a year and a half ago, that was just, like, impossible. That was impossible to imagine.
Yep.
And, like, they're just doing it, man. Like, this, you know, there's almost no chance this is not a 50-win team unless they just shut people down. And they have outperformed my expectations relative to where they stand in the conference. I don't think anyone Even the most optimistic Cavs fans had us having the best net rating in the league. I don't think most Cavs fans had us with a top 10 offense, given our spacing issues.
Up to eighth prior to this game. It might have even gone up tonight. Who knows?
It probably went up today because they had a nice offensive game. I don't think anyone had them with the fifth best record in the entire NBA. And again, I keep going back to the fact that I just think people, even with the Donnie addition, I think if this team were in the West in the two seed, you know, only four losses back of the one seed, I think people would just be losing their minds about how fun this team is and how cool this team is, nationally. Like they are, you know, they're a victim of just playing next to some amazing teams at the top of the conference, but
yeah, man, the best three teams in the league right now. That's what they have to deal with. That's what they have to go through. And I mean, it is fun. It's funny because there was conversation again the last couple of days just about those expectations. And Brian Windhorst, who I gotta say, I'm a massive Windy fan. Like, I don't think there's doing.
Wendy was feeling that local radio buzz, man.
but like, I don't think there's many people that do a better job of like very reliable reporting and analysis. I don't think there's many people that do a better job of Wendy.
We stand Wendy on this podcast, indisputably.
And I actually agreed with the majority of what he said. The only word I disagreed with was that the Donovan Mitchell trade kind of kneecapped their ability to you know, improve the roster. That was too strong a word, but also as someone that, you know, occasionally sits in front of a microphone and talks, sometimes you use the wrong word, so I'm not going to kill him over that. But he was talking about going from like being a very good team to an elite team. And the Cavs actually have all the markers of an elite team right now, right? Like you said, number one net rating, number one defense, top 10 offense. That's an elite team. And there was discussions about, well, if they have all the markings of elite team, why is the expectation just to win around? And, you know, it's because there are those three teams in this conference. I think the expectations would be different in the West. But I don't think there's as big of a leap. Like, one of the hardest things to do is adding a superstar. And the other thing is going from being very good to elite. Like, that's the other hardest thing to do in the NBA. I think like another offseason cycle and a few moves to the supporting cast, a little bit more experience. Like, I think they can go from a team that has the markers of an elite team to a team that's actually elite and contending in the near future. Like, I don't think it's as big of a jump as people say. And I think, you know, after this season, I can see them, you know, really putting some fear into these top teams ahead of them. And I think in the long run, it's going to be good for this team that they have to go through such tough tests and that the standard for greatness in the Eastern Conference is so high because it's going to force them to build better habits to actually go out and beat those teams.
Yeah, I mean, Wendy's not wrong insofar as the Cavs don't have a lot of, like, you know, levers to pull. You know, that's what trading 5 years of pick control will do for you.
That's the result of consolidation trades, man.
Yes. And they don't have a ton of like crazy, easy movable salary either. So like they are going to have to admit like the burden of making good choices is quite high, but like, you know, we've seen teams find helpful players for the mid-level exception with the second round pick consolidation trades. And like Kobe just has to do a good job. But he doesn't get to like, you know, while he doesn't get as many swings and misses as maybe like the Memphis Grizzlies might get right now, you know, who have all their picks and then some to play with. But it still matters what you do with that. And I think the biggest thing that takes this team from good to true championship contender is time. Is just this core getting a little bit older and getting a little bit better. Championship contention is mostly built around your top four or five guys.
Yep.
Historically, and what your role players need to do is not be so bad that they mess you up.
And I think free agency, I believe we've talked about this before on the podcast, but I think free agency would have looked a little different if Donovan Mitchell was already on this team, right? Like, Cavs are likely going to have the mid-level exception. It's going to be an attractive landing spot. And, you know, I was just looking at it. I wasn't ignoring you. I was listening to you while I was looking down. But what I was looking down for was, when was the last time the Cavs were 19 games over 500? And it was 2017. Wow. Like, it didn't happen the last LeBron year. The last time it happened was what I would argue was the best Cavs team that was ever put together. That's pretty damn good. And, you know, it's funny, just looking at the Brooklyn Nets, there's so much talent on that team. Like, I like those guys individually. And honestly, like, I think if they had like a dynamic point guard, someone that set the table, I think that team just comes together, right? Like, I think that could be a really, really good team if you dropped like DeJounte Murray on there as an example. I think that would be a nightmare team to deal with. But like, look at Mikal Bridges, man. Like, that guy was basically doing a Kevin Durant impression, hitting tough contested mid-range jumpers. And it just goes to show, like, I think sometimes we put guys into a box too early. Like, thank God Philly traded him away on draft night, because they thought, oh, you know, we're drafting this 22-year-old 3-and-D player. These type of guys are really easy to replace. They don't develop. Like, he's probably already is close to what he is. And I think sometimes we get trapped in that, even with our own cast, because they're so good already. And you look at Mikhail's like first couple of years, his rookie year, he played 30 minutes per game. He shot 43% from the floor, 33% from three, averaged 8 points per game. Basically, Isaac Okoro numbers. Less than Isaac Okoro numbers at the same age he is right now. His second year in the league, 9 points per game, 51% shooting, 36% shooting from three, and the volume was low. He was averaging like three attempts from three a game, playing 30 minutes per game. Like, that's a year older than Isaac Okoro is now and was putting up less. Now, I don't think Isaac is going to be Mikal Bridges. I think Mikal showed a different level of scoring acumen in college, and it was weird that he kind of had those down years. But just goes to show you that, like, guys do get better. And sometimes we put players in a box and label what they can be because of the role that they're in. But if you change the context of their situation and you empower them in different ways, there's still a lot of growth to unlock. Hell, look how wrong I was about Donovan Mitchell. Like, he's taken a leap in his age 26.
And we were cocky wrong too, you know?
Oh yeah.
Like, we weren't even quietly, you know, harboring concerns. We were like, this guy, we know what we're getting. We know what this trade is. We're not, you know, it'd be cool, but whatever. And like, look how freaking stupid we are.
Yeah, it's, and I think that it's something that we have to keep in mind from a roster building standpoint too, because this team is so good, it is going to cause impatience. I don't blame anybody for feeling impatient, but we've got like a core here, man. Like, we have a starting five that really, really works well together. We have the ability to stagger these guys and pair two stars together and have lineups that are better than the starting lineup altogether. And of course, part of that's, you know, they play tougher competition and all the qualifiers you want to add to that. But like, the foundation is here, man. Like, it's just going to take some things on the margins and internal growth. And this team can be even more special than it already is. And that's what makes this so exciting. And that's why, like, you start to shift even the standards, right? Like, that's why we get to be kind of like scolding little podcasters here, talking about, you know, the couple little mistakes, because we know that these guys are so good and they've raised the standard to a level where you want to hold them to that standard.
Absolutely, man. But, you know, like, these gripes we have, these are such rich people problems, man. You know, like,
I thought we'd get to this stage next year. I frankly, yeah, like, mapping out the season in my head, I thought this was the type of stuff we would be talking about next year, because even on the podcast, like, I'm an optimist. Everybody, like, that's my thing, right? Like, what I try to do is I try to find, okay, what's like a realistic, objective kind of outcome for the season. And then I usually like skew to the optimistic side of what I view as realistic. We're talking about the goal should be, you know, like, get the sixth seed, avoid the play-in. The teams that are currently ahead of us, everyone had ahead of us. They had Miami. A lot of people had Toronto ahead of us. They had Atlanta, Brooklyn. Obviously, Brooklyn fell apart on their own, but there was a question, like, even after the Donovan Mitchell trade, a lot of national podcasts had the Cavs seventh, right? I was mapping out in my head thinking we'd be having these conversations next year about, you know, trying to earn home court and, you know, ironing out some of these issues. They are ahead of schedule, man. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. This team is ahead of schedule and it's very exciting, but we have to calibrate our expectations and shift along with it because they've earned it.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And like the fact if like, and if you don't like this team's roster construction right now, if you like me are like, man, why doesn't this team have a movement shooter? Like that would add so much if this team just had, you know, like a Max Strus type player, you know, I know
Royce O'Neal,
Royce O'Neal type player, like yeah. That can play some 3 and D. Like, why don't they have those guys yet? Well, luckily, they don't have those. I think we all agree they need those guys, and they're still 20 games over 500. Yeah. Like this is a team, you know, you talk margin for error. This is a team that is 5-3 when they hit, like, six or less threes on, like, 25% shooting from three. Like,
Did you see when things go wrong,
they still can win almost every night.
Did you see that they're a top four team in the league on pull-up three-point shooting? Which is solely...
Well, I guess it makes sense.
That's solely the strength of how good their two guards are, right? Like, yeah. you have so much...
Because ain't no one else taking them.
Right. There's so much already with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. And frankly, Caris LeVert's playing pretty well too, right? Like, he's factoring into that. I know he was shooting the same percentage as Donnie from three coming into this game. And you know, hit some good shots tonight, made some good decisions. Like, he's playing well. But normally after a consolidation trade, if you look at the history of the NBA, usually after a consolidation trade, it takes another offseason cycle to round out the rotation, to get a little more depth, to get the ring-chasing veterans or the guys that are looking for an opportunity and, hey, this is a nice little role. Like,
if this team, I think, is actually should be pretty appealing on the free agency market. If you're a wing who can shoot, like, and you're looking to, you know, like, you're looking for a place where you definitely can show what you do, like, welcome to Cleveland, you know, yeah. Like, and you're going to,
and they got well-liked players too, right? Like, you know, players matter when it comes to recruiting, and Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell have very, very high approval ratings. Like, you can tell it's exciting, man. Like, it's, I just think, you know, we have to be patient, understanding that they're going to make mistakes because they're young, but it's at the same time, you have to see, are these mistakes in the service of the collective greater good and where we want this team to go, right? Like, is Isaac missing shots because, you know, he remade his form and this is going to pay off in the long term? We're seeing the answer is yes, right? Like, after that 0-12 streak or whatever he started the season on, he's up to 36% for the season now, right? and over 12 months of shooting over 38%. There's real dividends that are being paid off. Evan Mobley turning over the ball because he's trying to kind of create off the dribble and he's attacking guys off the bounce and, you know, looking to work on his footwork. There's a lot of loose ball turnovers here and he's making mistakes. I don't know if I love this. Now, all of a sudden, he looks dominant and he's putting guys, great defenders. Nick Claxton is a great defender. He put him in the damn blender tonight. And as you said, like no turnovers, 3 assists, 11 of 18 from the field. All those mistakes, all the frustrations and our insecurities as fans watching the team we care about make mistakes and that cost them close games. It's easy to get caught up in the moment, but you have to understand that it's all working towards something. And I think we're starting to see the fruits of that.
Yeah, I know we're just getting into full back patting territory here.
Oh, I'm feeling good, man.
But I'm feeling good, dude. Too. But I have one more fun little back pat to throw at you. If you'll recall, after January, in the middle of January up through the end of it, there's a lot of angst, you know, and I had some of it. I'm not just gonna poo-poo the nervy among us that, you know, if you don't count that winning streak to start the season, the Cavs were playing 500 ball for a 30 game stretch or whatever it was. It was a long stretch of 500 ball. Since February started, Cavs are 16-6.
Wow.
With a really good chance by the end of the season to be 21-6, 22-6 to close the year. Dare I say 23-6?
I think if it was 22, then there would be a 7 to that. But you got to add losses. But
shut up. You know what I'm saying. But point is, like, the fact that they are, you know, that they're closing this strong for a huge stretch of the season. It's funny, you were on this more than anyone I knew, and you would talk me down when I was angsting that, like, hey, this stretch is coming, the schedule is going to get easier, they're going to play easier teams, and they're going to be at less rest disadvantage, and if they can't show up then I'll be worried. You just beat that into me over and over and over again, and like I think you are being proven very correct here. Like, this team is coming together and doing exactly what they're supposed to do, which is rolling through the soft part of their schedule to close the year before they go get tested for the first time in the postseason.
Yeah, and the other thing is they're winning on the road. Like, they probably would have won both of those Miami games if everybody was healthy. Winning these games, like, I joke that the first Brooklyn game counted as a clutch win, but this was a clutch win on the road. Like, this down 8 with under 2 minutes to go, this is a big time win. And one of the things that we had pointed to was that all the statistical indicators were that this team was better than their record on the road. They have the third best net rating on the road. And now all of a sudden the wins are starting to catch up to it. They're now 18-20. And usually net rating is a better indicator than your win-loss record. And that has always been true, and it seems to be true once again for the Cavs. So this was not...
Cavs have 3 road games left to end the season with a winning record on the road, Justin?
I'm going to say no. I don't have a great feeling about Atlanta. That's, you know, just... It feels like a cursed location. But, you know, we did get a Lamar Stevens game winner there a year or two ago. So you never do know.
They ran us off the floor at the end of February. I think they're going to come out with a vengeance.
Yeah, I could see it. So it's Atlanta, Orlando, Orlando, right? If I'm recalling off the top of my head.
You have nailed it, buddy.
Well, yeah, I'm going to predict one letdown in those. But honestly, like, I did not expect this podcast to go this way, but it all tied into kind of my big picture excitement over what this team can be. And honestly, like, to me, this is the most interesting and the most invested I've been in a Cavs team, because it's different than having a team led by a player that has a very good argument to be the best player in the history of the NBA, right? Like, it's just... The math is different. The team building questions are more interesting. Like, we're balancing multiple stars that are all playing so well off of one another. Like, just from an analysis standpoint, like, I just I feel so fortunate. And this is not far removed from us emptying the cupboard from a four-year run of going to the NBA Finals. Like, I thought it was going to take longer than this. I didn't know we were ever going to be this good again.
You remember what I told you? Like, at the lowest point, after LeBron, it was actually, I think it was right after LeBron officially left, we hopped on this podcast and I said, Justin, I'm worried that we're going to be Kings East. Like, I don't want to be this team that just is in the wilderness for 10 years. And like, that's like, and then that first year happens and it goes so poorly.
Dude, those conversations were happening like among the fan base. Those conversations were happening among the fan base after the Evan Mobley pick, like until we actually saw
not by this part of the fan base.
No. But they were happening over Cleveland Twitter, and people still had concerns, right? Like, you just traded a first for Jared Allen and you just drafted another 7-footer, and what is this going to be? And it's worked out. Like, it's the Evan Mobley pick has changed this franchise. Darius Garland is closer to an all NBA talent than he is not. Like, I think he is closer to Donovan Mitchell's level as a player than people recognize. And he's still got a lot of growth ahead of him and a long way to go. But this is damn exciting, man. Like, this is
our boy Justin in the chat just said, turned out the Kings are Cavs West.
I gotta say, I am so happy for the Kings. Their fans deserve
this. Yeah, of course, man.
Mike
my
Brown
favorite,
deserves this.
My favorite Twitter fan base as well, Greg Wessinger and the boys.
Yeah.
Just a delightfully pleasant group that has no right to be as pleasant as they've been over this 15 years.
God bless the Sacramento Kings and their fans. God bless the Cleveland Cavaliers, and God bless everyone that stayed up to listen to us just ramble on and
God
gloat.
Bless Kylie, who's been with the baby this whole time.
And on that note, big thanks to everyone that tuned in. We appreciate you guys staying up to listen to us be self-indulgent and pat ourselves on the back and gloat about this awesome team that we have. But you know what? I'm feeling good. Isaac Okoro hit a damn game winner, man. That's a lot of fun. If you're tuning in on YouTube, like and subscribe. Click the notification bell so you know when we're going live. If you're listening via podcast and you want to support us there, leave us a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of the Chase Down's exclusive Discord chat, send a screenshot of that review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. However you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you guys are staying safe out there. Until next time, go Cat.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.